weeks ago, I was at the British Chambers of Commerce conference in London. All these things happen in London. And during that conference, we heard from, among others, George Osborne and Boris Johnson. And while George Osborne was speaking, we touched upon the North. In fact, we did more than touch upon the North at that conference. And at lunchtime, when I was talking to a colleague of mine from the Chambers in Thames Valley, he really took the opportunity to complain about just how much time we wasted this morning in talking about the North. But George Osborne was talking about the opportunities for city region mayors. And he put it this way. He said that it had the makings of a revolution for the cities that had decided to go with city region mayors. Now, in this city, some might think that we don't want to be part of any part of George Osborne's revolution. However, I think we have the makings of a revolution of our own here in Liverpool. And so without further ado, what I'd like to do is pass you over to Andrew Carter from Centre for Cities, who will introduce the candidates and get our hustings going today.
Great, thank you very much indeed, Jenny. Let me add my welcome and thanks for you all being here. We're going to talk, as Jenny said, about the economy of Liverpool City Region. Express and talk about the strengths, the weaknesses, some of the opportunities and the threats. And I'd like to thank Liverpool and Sefton Chamber and indeed Professional Liverpool for partnering with us to put on the event and make it happen. We have our five candidates in front of us. You can see them. They're ready to answer your questions. The candidates are Tony Caldera from the Conservatives, Carl Cashman from Liberal Democrats, Steve Rotherham from Labour, Tom Crone from the Green Party, Tabitha Morton from the Women's Equality Party. Let me just give you a sense so you have a sense of how this event is going to run. So in a minute, I'm going to ask each of their candidates in turn to set up their stall. I'm going to give them 2 minutes to do that. They promised me that they won't take longer than 2 minutes. I will be standing over there waving at them frantically when they get close to 2 minutes to encourage them to stop. They're going to set out their thoughts on the area's economy. We'll then open up and get into a question and answer session with you all in the room. We're going to try and organise it around three broad themes. They all interrelate, I get that. But I'm going to touch on jobs and skills, some issues around that going on in the city region, housing and transport, and business and enterprise. And we'll probably spend, given we've got our five candidates and they're all going to have a chance to respond, we'll probably spend about 15 or so minutes on each section. And then towards the end of the event, I'm going to give our candidates 2 minutes each again to make their final closing statements. The order in which they do the opening statements will be reversed at the end, so everybody gets their fair sharing and positioning throughout. And we'll be finished by 6 o'clock, no later. The random order that we are going is that Tony will go first, then Carl, then Steve, then Tom, and then Tabitha, and then when we get to the closing statements, it will be in reverse. So, without further ado, Tony, you have your 2 minutes, and we'll move up the way. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much indeed, and good afternoon, everybody. My name is Tony Caldera, the Conservative Party candidate to be the elected mayor for the Liverpool City Region, and my aim is to build a city region that works for everyone. I was brought up by a single mum in a council house on free school meals, so I understand what it's like when life can be a bit of a struggle. And I also started my business on a local market stall down in Great Holmes Street. And I've turned that business to be a global leader within its niche. So I believe that I have a very good understanding of what it takes to run and to manage local businesses here in the Liverpool City region. And politically, I've led the Conservative Party locally for 10 years and built up some fantastic contacts at the highest level of government. So I believe that with my political and business experience combined, I'll be able to do the very best deal for all of the people of the Liverpool City region. What's more, I've got a great understanding of the whole region. I went to school in St Helens, my business is in Knowsley, I live in Liverpool, and I've campaigned all across the city region, so I understand the issues that are really important to local people. I have a very exciting six-point plan. My focus is very clear. First of all, I want faster economic growth. Secondly, I want to see more jobs and better skills. Thirdly, I want more housing, and I want that to be done without ruining the green belt. Fourthly, what I'm looking for is better transport links. Fifthly, I want to get the best deal for the whole city region. And finally, I want to build a city region that works for everybody. And I believe that with my combination of personal, professional and political experience, plus my knowledge of the whole city region, and specifically city region business, I believe that I'm a very well qualified candidate and the best qualified candidate to be your Metro Mayor. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much indeed, Tony. Oh, your 2 minutes when you get to the lectern.
Thank you very much, and thank you everyone for coming here today to hear my vision and our vision for the Liverpool City Region mayoral elections that are coming up. I hope you're as excited for it as I am, because Merseyside is my home. It's the place where I grew up, the place where I live, it's the place that I went to school. It's a place that I love very much, and it's a place that I'm very proud of. But I believe that Merseyside and the city region can do a lot better, and that's why I'm standing in this election, because I believe that Merseyside and the city region should be playing on the world stage. We should be leading the world and not following. That's why I will be a mayor that is pro-internationalist, pro-European, and will work with our neighbours across the world and across into Europe. That is why the first thing I will do as Mayor is work with the Mayor of Greater Manchester and the Northern Ireland Assembly to establish an embassy in Brussels to make sure that we've got that trade that is working for local people and for local businesses as well. So I want to use this devolution opportunity to give real power to local people. But there is a problem with this devolution deal. It was cooked up in the back rooms by the government and by local councils, and it simply doesn't deliver enough powers and enough funding. So I am the only candidate in this race that will fight for more powers and for more funding and to give people a real say over their future. So I believe that I have got a new vision for a Liverpool city region that is big, bold and ready for business. Thank you very much.
Great. Our third candidate, Steve. Steve. Our 2 minutes.
Thanks very much. I'd like to thank the Centre for Cities, Professional Liverpool and the Chambers of Commerce for putting on today's event. For far too long, too many decisions about our future have been taken too far away by people who do not understand or care about our region. We live in a country where power and wealth are concentrated in the capital, and where other major cities and regions have been starved of investment and deprived of economic opportunities. Devolution is our chance, our once in a lifetime chance, to fundamentally change that situation. It has to be about a new beginning and a new direction, not just about taking additional powers and financial resources from Whitehall. Having a Metro Mayor to provide joined up government and a single influential voice on the national and international stage has given London even more clout and influence. We now have the chance to give our city region the same kind of strategic and democratically accountable leadership. It's a chance to work together to attract global investment, modernise our transport system, transform education and skills provision, plan future housing needs, and to work together to solve common problems and grasp the big opportunities. I grew up in Kirby and started my work in life as an apprentice bricklayer. I too have had my own business, and I went to university at 29 and went on to do a master's degree in contemporary urban renaissance. But I've never had a job plan nor career strategy in politics. I've been genuinely lucky to have represented the area I'm from and love. And that's why I'm so excited about this election. But being in the Westminster bubble, I've experienced how our centralised political system has let down people for our area for far too long. And that's why I'm ready to leave Parliament, so I can devote myself to this new role and to build a fairer, more just society and improve social mobility. With my local and national political experience, I believe I'm the best person to deliver that. Thank you.
Lectern, your 2 minutes.
Thanks to our host and thanks everybody for coming. I've just wandered across the Liverpool waterfront from the ACC, where Green Party members from all over this globe are beginning to arrive to take part in the Global Green Congress 2017. It's going to be the biggest gathering of Green Party members and activists that's ever taken place. And for me, that's an incredibly exciting thing to have here in Liverpool. And it's incredibly inspiring, meeting people from all around the world, from every different background you can imagine, operating in every kind of political system you can possibly imagine. Yet we're all with one united cause in common, and that is to produce a more just and more ecologically sustainable human society. It's a massive challenge, but I believe that tackling this challenge head on actually presents us with the best opportunity for a brighter future. So standing in this election as a Green candidate for Mayor of Liverpool City Region, I am the local representative of this grand idea. And what does that mean for my ideas for Liverpool City Region? So I'll be very focused on protecting and improving the natural environment in our area. So that means revisiting local plans with proposals to build on swathes of greenbelt. It means reclaiming towns and city centres from the dominance of car traffic and congestion. And it also means prioritising high quality, high density urban developments, which means there's less pressure on land for housing. I will use the single investment fund to support industries that will make a positive contribution towards Liverpool City Region becoming zero carbon. That means supporting businesses involved in renewable energy and energy efficiency and waste reduction to help us develop a circular economy in Liverpool City Region. It's a radically different vision to that was on offer from other parties, but I think it's one that's really positive. One key difference is it's not growth at all costs. I will grow Liverpool City Region by encouraging people to come here by creating a better, cleaner environment.
Thank you very much indeed, Tom. Candidate, your 2 minutes.
Good evening, everyone. I think I bet everyone's been thanked for coming to extend my thanks again for inviting us and for coming along, everyone. So I'm Tabitha Morton, and I'm standing on behalf of the Women's Equality Party. Can you hear me at the back?
Yeah, good.
I'm so excited about this election. It marks the beginning of something new. Someone told me it had been a revolution before. And this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity. But so far, women have been left at the sidelines. And I'm here today because I believe that as we take the decisions that shape our future for generations to come, we cannot afford to only have half the people at the table. We need the other half of our population to be there, to give their energy and their ideas. I grew up on a council estate in Netherton. I started work at the age of 16 as a cleaner. I also worked on Great Ormond Street Markets, but I didn't have a stall, I just had to work on someone else's stall. But I soon realised the opportunities that were reserved for me as a young working class woman were so limited. So I know firsthand that if we settle for a devolution deal that shuts women out, that we will not have a region that grows. And I know that I wouldn't be where I am today. I work in the male-dominated manufacturing industry and senior management. I wouldn't be there today if I hadn't been able to take advantage of the skills and training. I was lucky enough to get an MBQ apprenticeship when I was 18, and that's really helped me to get where I am today. So today, women across our region are still facing those same limited options. And instead of shutting their voices out, we need to demand a devolution deal that is shaped by them too. So I'm standing here as your future mayor because I want a devolution deal that sees women and creates opportunities for all of us to grow the region. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, candidates. I have to say that this is we've done four other hustings. This is the first time that the audience has clapped the candidates when they've made their opening speech. So I think that's a good sign, right? In other places, they just sat there and we moved on to the questions and the answers. So I think that's a good thing. I'm going to sit here so I can, or stand here, so A, I'm not in the way, it's about the candidates, but also so I can see the audience for the questions and the answers in particular. So let's get into the questions. So our first question comes from Jenny. Jenny Stewart, you've met her already. Jenny, I'm going to put your first question.
From a business point of view, something that's coming across to me time and time again from our members is that there are city mayors and now we've got city region mayors. Could someone please set the context of what the difference is for our businesses?
Great, that's a great contextual question. I'm going to give each the candidates a chance to set that out and how they see that working differently. Tom, you go first.
Thank you. Okay, so I guess the key difference is that the city mayor was essentially quite a small change from what was had before. It was going from a leader of the council to having a directly elected mayor with a bit more executive power, so they concentrate a certain amount more power into one person's hands. Now, I wasn't in favour of that change. I don't think it was the best system for the city region, but a lot of people feel it gives, you know, a focal point, an individual to speak to. The city region mayor will have new powers, so it's not just a different way of doing the same powers. It's powers coming down from Whitehall to the city region. So I do think there's something a bit distinctive about this particular role, especially the fact that they will be managing new powers that are newly run within the city region.
Okay, great. Tabitha, if you want to add anything, but also I suppose give a sense how you will work as the Metro Mayor, how you will work with the other leaders across the city region.
I think that's vitally important in work across the entire region. The devolution deal we've got today was agreed by six white guys who actually are represented by either mayors or local authorities. That does not represent our region, so I think one of the first things that I would want is to make sure that we all represent our entire region, and that means local authorities have to be more representational from gender, from race. So I think, yes, it is a little complicated, we're getting that message a lot on the doorstep, but I think the challenge and what I would take on is that we make sure that it is not six white guys making all decisions for those situations.
Great. Sorry, Carl, your perspective on that, how you would work together?
Very difficultly, I think, especially if it's six Labour leaders, of course, leading the local councils, but I'm hoping there's not going to be six Labour leaders for very long. Three mayors in Liverpool, to be perfectly honest, is just confusing. We'll have a Lord Mayor, a Metro Mayor, and a City Mayor. I don't think that's the best way to do governance in Liverpool, in the city. I don't think it's the best way to do governance, in fact, around Merseyside. I think the people should have been consulted about this form of governance, and it's what we've got is a devolution deal, really, that fails on the first test of devolution. It centralises it in one person. So one thing and one important priority for me is to make sure that people feel that they power this democracy and that they have a real say going into the future.
Okay, very good. Steve, position on this and how you would work with the other...
Well, the starting point is that you're right, there is confusion, and there's confusion over not just the mayor and the city mayor, but the Metro Mayor and Joe Anderson, as people will know them, but also in our districts we have mayors there because we have ceremonial mayors, and we actually have two Lord Mayors because we have a Lord Mayor of Hale as well. So that, in addition to parish mayors and other titles of mayors, adds up to about 11 or 12 throughout the city region. And we're then going out saying to people, there's this thing coming along called the Metro Mayor, do you think it's a good idea? Well, of course there's going to be confusion. So the way to differentiate the two things is that what happens in Liverpool with the mayor of the city of Liverpool, the elected mayor of the city of Liverpool, is that that's about service delivery. The Metro Mayor, like the other five, so there's six deals throughout the country, that's about strategic direction. So that's wrestling powers from Whitehall that we can use in our city region so that we can do things more locally and decide what's in our best interests in the whole city region. And the strategic direction will be dependent not just on a Metro Mayor. Carl's absolutely wrong about this. You only get, as Metro Mayor, one vote. There will still be a combined authority. There will still be seven votes, and the Metro Mayor will have to get four of those six to support any policy that the Metro Mayor puts forward.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much indeed. Tony?
Well, firstly, it's important to understand the constituency, because a lot of people don't even know what the Liverpool City Region is. You'd be amazed, as my team and I have been campaigning around the whole city region, how people say, well, what's Holton got to do with the Liverpool City Region? It's very important that all of the candidates and all of the powers that be explain to the people and all of the people throughout the whole city region how important an election this is for them, because people don't quite understand yet. The powers that have been devolved are really significant. Transport, housing, jobs, skills, the local economy, getting the best deal. This is a big job. This is a really important election, and people need to understand the gravity of what's actually around us and the opportunity, more importantly, that we have at this time. The funding that's involved as well is also significant. You're talking about nearly £1 billion already on the 30-year deal. That's not including the single investment fund or any of the deals that have been involved. There's a lot of money that's going down via the combined authority led by the Metro Mayor, and that's really important to understand, that actually you need somebody in there who can understand how to deal with those large sums of money. But in terms of the Labour-led authorities, I think personally I'd be able to do quite a good job in terms of being a bridge between government and the local authorities. There's been a lot of infighting in some of the parties locally, and I think actually a Conservative Metro Mayor could bang some heads together and make things happen and make sure we get the most for our city region.
Okay, great. Thank you very much to all the candidates. So you've got a context and set how the Metro Mayor relates to the city region and the other bits of the leadership. Let's get into our first theme on jobs and skills. And is Paul Ammon in the room? Paul, you had a very specific, but it's a broader question, so I'm hoping you're going to broaden it out to make a more particular point.
I'm Paul Ammon from the Workers Educational Association. We currently depend on national budgets being handled back down from the Skills Funding Agency. The devolution agenda means that Liverpool City Region, amongst others, will get a big slice of the adult education budget. What I'd like to know, what the Workers Educational Association would really like to know, is do you, as candidates, recognise the importance and value of adult and community learning, and the fact that that represents the first step back into employment, into participation, into social inclusion, and giving people a chance to add value to the local city region economy?
Thank you very much.
Straightforward question.
Yeah, thank you very much. So do you recognise it? And I'll push you a little bit further. What are you going to do to promote it? Steve?
I think we need to address the paradox that we have some world-class businesses in our city region literally pulling up trees and developing new ideas and new ways to tackle some of the problems that we'll have in the 21st century. And then, conversely, some of the worst educational attainments, some of the lowest NDQ level 3 outcomes, and some of the highest unemployment. And that's why the devolution of the adult education budget and the area-based review around FE and what comes with private training providers is really important to the city region, because we need to develop and shape things much better to tackle the issues that we have locally. And I've spoken to the Secretary of State to see whether we can get some further devolvement of pots of money, and one of them is lots of people in here will be employers, and employers over £3 million will have to pay into the apprenticeship levy, and it will be a large residual underspend of that levy, and that's going back into central government, into a pot not designed to tackle some of the issues that you've identified. So I spoke to Justin Greening, and we're trying to see whether we can become a pilot to use that much more innovatively to develop some of the solutions to the problems that quite badly you've identified.
Great, thank you very much indeed. Tom, adult education learning, importance, but also how do you make more of it?
Well,
I think it's a really exciting opportunity to have these powers devolved down to the city region. And I would like it to be, these new powers to be used to address some of the really pressing issues that are affecting people in the city region. So for example, fuel poverty. We've got a huge problem with old, inefficient homes. We should set up a centre of excellence. We should have training and research into how to actually retrofit those homes and make them very cheap to heat, and we will tackle fuel poverty and help the environment at the same time. We've also got a need for much more clean, renewable energy. We've got the universities innovating. They're finding cheaper, better ways to produce, like solar photovoltaic energy. We need to have businesses here which are actually rolling that out and manufacturing it. That can be done through the skills agenda. And another thing I think which we need to really try and foster is waste reduction within the city region. We spend £75 million a year in Merseyside just disposing of the waste. That's not even, you know, picking it all up from people's homes. If we can reduce that amount of waste that we're producing, we can save a lot of money there and create a lot of jobs and a lot of opportunities for new and innovative businesses within the city region. So I think there are a lot of opportunities that I'd like to exploit through the skills.
Excellent, thank you very much. Tony?
Well, I'm quite surprised that Tom didn't pull Steve up about businesses pulling up trees. I thought he might have taken a task on that. Yeah,
he said literally, so I thought he made my point for me.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, now jokes aside though, it's very important that we look after everybody in our society, especially those that need the most help. And what I want to see, and how I believe the best way for this to happen, is for the stakeholders within the city region to come together. So we're talking about not only the training providers, not only the employers, not only the universities and the colleges, but the people themselves who are looking for that work. The most important thing is that supply and demand are met. It's very important that the people that are looking for the work have the skills that are needed, but it's also important for employers and training providers to make sure that the next generation and current generations who are looking for work have those skills. And I think we need to go a little bit further back, because I'd like to see more enterprise education coming into school, because I believe that if people understand more about business, they can actually not only will they be more likely to start their own business and create their own business, but they'll also be able to understand how to be a more successful employee. I think that's really important too. And then finally, I also think that we need to teach young people specific life skills as well, because I think if they understand some of the importance of getting a job and how to prepare themselves and present themselves, that helps too. So, in short, we need to work together to make sure that this happens.
Okay, great. Carl?
I was just about to say that, actually. Something that we don't learn in school is how to pay taxes, how to, you know, open our own business and be innovative and be entrepreneurial. So I'd like to use that, and I'd like to extend that to make sure that we're bringing in, using the apprenticeship levy to better match skills providers and local businesses, though the local businesses have got people who've got the skills that they need. And also to use the universities as well, to use their expertise, their research capabilities, to make sure that we've got people with the right skills. But also, I just want to make this point really clear as well, not to prioritise a certain type of education over another type of education. I think that's absolutely critical. We shouldn't be prioritising degree level, not degree level education, we shouldn't be prioritising university education over apprenticeship education. I think that's absolutely key. I think that's something we can do with this new powers.
Okay, great. Canada, your perspective on adult education, its importance, and what you would do as the mayor?
Well, I've already spoken about passion. I have a lot of skills and training. As a young person, I benefited from that. I wouldn't be sitting here today. I just realised I was in this room about 7 years ago learning how to be a leader, so I'm not sure that the training obviously paid off. But adults, it's so, so important that we don't just focus on young people. So because so many of those adults are women who are stuck in zero contracts, low-paid jobs, so they need that skills and training to be able to move them on. But we also need to look at the bigger picture. So we need to give them the skills and training, but we need to give the infrastructure as well around them. So it's no good giving a woman the job, the skills and training if there's not affordable childcare and good transport links. So we have to look at the whole social economy around that as well.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you very much indeed. Is Fred best in the room? Fred? He's not. Very good. Okay. I'm looking for a question on skills, either something you've heard or something different. Yes. Just say who you are and then fire away.
Yes, on jobs and skills and wages. Lynn Collins from the Northwest TUC. I wanted to ask what practical measures, as well as what leverage, would you use to increase the quality of employment, the security of employment, and hopefully address that £50 a week pay gap that the stats in the brochure show that we have here on Merseyside.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much indeed. Then, so it's not just about jobs, it's about good jobs, better quality, security that pay reasonable wages. Carl?
Well, I think I've been very clear from the start in this campaign that I would like to bring in a Merseyside minimum wage, which is set at £8.50 an hour. Some people might say that the mayor hasn't got powers to do that. What I would do is I would incentivise local businesses to make sure that they pay that wage. Because I think for me, it's what it says about us as a society. It's what it says about us as a place around the world. If we pay a higher wage and we get the economy moving through paying that higher wage, then that is absolutely fantastic. In terms of security and job security, zero hours contract is something that I would tackle as Metro Mayor. Of course, you know, the powers are up in the air. That's why we need to go back to the government and make sure that we get real powers in this devolution deal.
Very good. Tanitha.
Well, no surprise, I think I'm going to talk about the gender pay gap, because that is it's appalling. I think it's going to be many years if we leave it as it is, if it ever does get resolved. And it's not just the pounds in our bank accounts, it's also all those hidden costs. I talked about affordable childcare. So I think we need to make sure that young people and all people are getting the skills and training that actually gets them into the sectors where they're underrepresented. You've got a former cleaner and a former bricklayer sat side by side here. But even today, a cleaner would be paid £7 an hour, a bricklayer would be over £12 an hour. So we need to make sure that the skills and training services are actually encouraged and incentivised to get a gender balance, to make sure that women are actually getting the opportunities to get out of these zero contracts and low-paid jobs. But after that, it's not just enough to train them, we also have to incentivise employees to take them on as well and to make sure they secure jobs at the end of it.
Very good. Okay. Tom? Good jobs, secure jobs?
Well, just addressing some of the points that have been risen, for example, the pay gap was mentioned. It's absolutely unacceptable. This needs to be addressed as a matter of urgency. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it can cost, you know, employers a lot of money, but they simply have to bite the bullet and do what needs to be done to create equal pay. It's been law, the Equal Pay Act has existed now for quite some time, and the fact that there are so many organisations and employers that haven't got around to addressing it, even in this day and age, I think is completely unacceptable. So I agree with you on that. I think wages do need to be improved. I've taken the pledge from the Living Wage Foundation to be, if elected Metro Mayor, I'll be a living wage employer, and I'll find ways to incentivise other organisations and businesses to do that, because I think it's absolutely essential. When the Green Party took control of Brighton Council, that was the first council to become a living wage council, so we've got good track record in that, and we're really committed to that. I do think also as well it was good to hear from a trade union voice today. I feel like that's one aspect of the discussion so far on the city region there that hasn't been as strong, there hasn't been much discussion about workers' rights, about the role of the unions within it. And I think as city, you know, as Metro Mayor, I'd like to have a direct line to trade unions and workers' representatives to make sure we're a fair city region, to make sure we're a safe city region and we have a very positive working culture.
Very good. Tony?
Well, I believe that the best way to get the best jobs is to have a strong local economy and to create the conditions so that the private sector in particular have the ability to grow and improve their business, because that improves prosperity, it improves local wealth, and most importantly, it provides local jobs. But what we need to do is we need to strike a balance between fairness and competitiveness. We have to be fair, we have to pay our workers fairly, of course we do, but we've also got to be competitive too. We still lag behind other city regions in terms of our job creation. And let's face it, we've had a mini miracle here in the Liverpool city region. We've had 50,000 extra jobs created since 2010. Now, we're still behind some other city regions, and I would pledge to help the private sector generate another 10,000 jobs by 2020 if I was elected mayor. And if we can do that, then what you will find is all ships will rise. And I believe that that will be really important because we can then compete internationally and then our city region's economy will stand on its own 2 feet and have real clout around the world.
Great. Steve, quality, security, good wages, how can you make it happen as the mayor?
Well, all of that, I think it was noticeable that Tony didn't commit to becoming a real living wage employer, and Tom has. Nearly 12 months ago now, during the Labour Party selection, it was one of the things that working with the unions that I said I'd do, because as the Metro Mayor, you're an employer in your own right. And so what other things can you do with that power? Well, you can use procurement, for instance, to push that out through a social charter. And I'm entering into negotiations and discussions about what sort of things would be on that. And that's the soft powers that you can use as a Metro Mayor. But in regard to what I would actually do, I'd introduce something called a Fairness and Social Justice Advisory Board. And on that, there would be businesses, Tony, there would be unions, there would be people from the third sector, there would be people from underrepresented groups. And on it, within that group, all of the policy areas that we would either develop or implement would be pushed through that so that we can see what the implications and ramifications would be to each of those groups, so that we can take on board all of the issues that they have individually and then come up with something that the whole city region can buy into. And what we have to do, we have to break down those barriers. Tabitha's absolutely right. During the Labour Party, the first 2015 leadership election, I went around the country and I listened to Yvette Cooper. And Yvette Cooper came up with one of the most startling statistics that I've ever heard. She said that 82% of data coders are male. And these are the high wage, high aspiration, high value jobs now, available now. And we have to break away from the gender stereotypes that stops women from going for some of the best and highest paid jobs. And that's what I'll focus on. I'll make certain that we raise aspiration for all.
Great, excellent, okay. Let's move on to our second theme around transport and housing. And Steve Peters, where is he? Where's Steve? There you are, Steve. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, please can you outline your plans for investment in cycling and walking, given the potential benefits to health and wellbeing, local connectivity and the local economy?
So what particularly your plans around walking and cycling, but in the context of trying to address connectivity and congestion and there's related health issues as well. Tony.
Cycling is really important for lots of different reasons. Clearly, there are health benefits involved, there's less pollution and people exercise more, so it's something that needs to be encouraged and encouraged by all candidates, as I'm sure it will be. It's also got to be safe as well. We can't have cyclists on the inside of buses bobbing along with all the grids. It's not right and it's not fair, and we need to look how we do that. One of the best ways to help that issue is to try to reduce some of the traffic that's on the road. And one of the ways that I would hope to do that as Metro Mayor is to invest significantly in railways, because by doing that I believe that we can take a lot of the weight of the traffic off the road, as well as improving connectivity and speeding up journeys for buses, speeding up journey for the remaining motorists who aren't necessarily on the train. It would also really improve safety issues for cyclists and hopefully give us a safer road network so that those who are cycling have safety at the top of the agenda.
Okay, very good. Steve?
Well, as part of the devolution deal, the strategic route network is devolved down to the Metro Mayor, so we do have some of the powers to tackle that. And I've spoken with lots of cycle groups. You can imagine how disparate that is across the six districts. You all have their own ideas about how we tackle that. So if you have a look in the manifesto, we've actually started to distill some of that in practical solutions that we can use. But cycling in itself can't just work in isolation. It has to be part of an overall integrated transport policy. And just on Monday, there was a piece of legislation that went through the Commons called the Bus Services Bill. Sounds fairly innocuous, but it provides us with the opportunity now to re-regulate our bus services. And by doing that, we can get that interconnectivity that we need. So cyclists can use
hopefully cycle lanes if we get some of the devolved budgets from government that they've promised, and there's supposed to be £60 million floating around, and we're trying to see whether we can grab some of that to do some of that, but also to see whether we can then link that with what we need on the key route network and with the integrated transport policy. So people can cycle, for instance, to Southport, for instance, but if they're too tired, as people like me are at my age, you can also jump on a train with the cycle and get back safely.
Very good, thank you very much. Tabitha.
Yeah, just following up with Steve, I think cycling is important, and walking, and we have to make sure every area of the region has fair access to that as well, so it's not just Liverpool centric or St Helens centric, it has to be the entire region. But I do agree that we need to have that as part of a wider transport policy, because once again, guess who are using most public transport? It's going to be women who have got low pay, zero contracts, so they're the people that need to get around. So we need to make sure that the cycling's there, but also the public transport is there and it's safe. Just this week, we've seen two of the local cities' most popular bus routes being axed or being threatened to be axed. And they were one of the bus routes that actually people who work in the city would use to go and support local businesses. So, you know, we need to have to sort of really pull back and put the wider picture and make sure that the transport policy suits everybody across the entire region.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Tom.
Well, as a Green, and also personally, I'm extremely committed to active travel, to creating a cleaner air and a better environment through promoting cycling and walking. So as Metro Mayor, I would put together an ambitious, costed plan for a really good quality cycle network. Now, this has to involve segregated cycle lanes, because that has been shown to be by far the most effective form of a cycleway. We really need to build a good quality infrastructure, because that has also been shown to be the best way to get people cycling. If people feel safe cycling, they will. Now, I know that in Liverpool alone, they're looking at spending about £250 million on the roads in coming years. Huge sums of money. Very, very little of that is being given to cycling, because it's simply not currently a priority. In fact, we've got incredibly regressive policies. We've had nearly all the bus lanes in Liverpool scrapped very recently. That was part of the cycling network. That is now just given over, again, like the rest of the roads, to the private road network. We've got proposals to encourage more traffic on the road by reducing tunnel fees. So we're seeing very, very regressive policies that were against cyclists. I'll reverse these and take some difficult decisions. They won't always be popular, but they will lead to more people cycling and walking. For example, giving over more space on our roads to our traffic.
Very good. Thank you very much indeed, Tom. Carl, how would you support walking and cycling as part of your transport?
Certainly. What I found during this campaign is it's been very interesting how passionate cyclists are. A lot of cyclists actually go through during this campaign. But I just signed the cycling pledge itself as well. And there's four proactive things that I will do as a Metro Mayor. I'll encourage a healthy region by including walking to work and cycling to work, of course, and incentivising that. I'll strive for a more integrated transport system, and most importantly, I think, because we've got a great idea in Liverpool at the minute, which is the City Bike Scheme, I will extend that to the rest of the region to get people cycling around the region. Maybe if they haven't got a bike themselves, maybe they can't afford a bike, or we would ride a unicycle or something like that, I'm not sure. But extend that out, make sure people have got access to that across the whole region and not just in the city.
Very good, thank you very much. Is Andrew Needham in the earth? You had two questions. I only want you to ask one, and it's the second question on HS2, please. Can you ask me that?
Well, I'd rather ask the first one.
Well, I know that, but I would rather ask the second. So I'm happy to have you have this question, but it's the second one I want.
Well, HS2 will cost £55 billion, possibly £100 billion. Would Powell agree that we should be spending more, give a greater priority to HS3, what is now called Northern Powerhouse Rail?
Thank you very much, Andy. So this touches a little bit about how you engage with other bits of the country, how you engage with national institutions, national government departments to make the case for what's good for the local city region. So HS2 will cost a lot of money. Should there be more emphasis on the East-West links, what's called HS3? Tom.
Well, I agree with the questioner. If we're going to have one of these two new lines, it should be the east-west link.
Yeah.
I'm pretty suspicious myself about the benefits that have been touted for high-speed rail. I don't think the economics add up. They make very optimistic assessments of the economic advantages that they'll get.
Yeah.
Personally, I think we could be spending that money altogether differently. I think we should be improving the existing network. For example, making the West Coast Main Line two double track all the way from north to south, for example. That would increase capacity quite radically. And also interconnectivity between different kinds of transport. So better bus stations at train stations so people can get around much better. I think a better focus on lots of small improvements to what exists would be a better way of spending money. But if we do have to have one or the other, let's go east-west so that all that economic advantage doesn't just get transported down to London. Let's keep it in the north.
Yeah, great. Tabitha, obviously interested in your preference if you have a set of priorities, but also give us a sense as to how you would do the engagement, the influencing, if you were the Metro Met.
I think we need proper consultation on this. I think that too often, if you look at the Northern Powerhouse, for example, it's important, I agree with Tom's comment, that we need to make sure we need to keep the talent in the North, we need to pull the North together, that's so, so important. But we need to make sure there's transparency around these decisions that are made. Too often they're made, I'm going to say it again, by a group of white blokes behind doors somewhere. So we need to make sure all the right parties are at the table when these decisions are being made. And we understand the true effect on the businesses and the people. But we also need to look at things like the cost of travel across the region as well. I take trains across the region and they're incredibly expensive. So we need to make sure we are picking the right infrastructure to be a modern region that is going to be world class. But we also need to make sure it's affordable for the people who live in that region to be able to travel.
Okay, very good. Carl, HS2, HS3, and again, how would you as the Metro Mayor, what would you be doing to make the case, make sure that the city region gets its fair share from either of those?
Yeah, I would place more emphasis on HS3 and on the east to west movement. I'd also make sure that we work with the Mayor of Greater Manchester to boost our economy together, because I think that's how you get a real a northern powerhouse. And again, I would fight for more funding to make sure when we're connecting ourselves to London, that we're also connecting ourselves closer to home as well. Because I think there's a certain train you could get to London that would get you from faster from here to London than it would get you from Southport to Liverpool. There was a friend that come down to help me in Prescott the other day, and it took him longer to get from Southport to Prescott than it would have done to get from Liverpool to Spain. So I think that's a two-story. So I think, you know, we need to address that situation. We need to address the connectivity with the rest of the country, but we also need to address our own connectivity issues and make sure that our region is connected to itself.
Okay, Tony, HS2, HS3, how would you do it?
This is a very exciting part of my manifesto and something that I'm really looking forward to unveiling. Yesterday, I was in the House of Commons with a guy called Chris Grayling, who's the Secretary of State for Transport. It's important for people to understand that actually HS2 and what's called Northern Powerhouse Rail, or HS3, will actually use the same line when whoever is the Metro Mayor can convince the powers that be to make that happen. There's something called the Goulburn Curve and the Goulburn Link, and what happens is the east-west line, which is Northern Powerhouse Rail, and the north-south line, which is High Speed 2, HS2, they both use the same access to go into Liverpool. So we can actually have our cake and eat it too. If we are successful in getting HS2 and Northern Powerhouse Rail to Liverpool, the benefits will be transformative. The study and the consultation that's already come out has indicated a £15 billion boost to our economy, nearly £3 million more visitors to our city region every year. So bringing HS2 and HS3 will be my very top priority from a transport perspective. What I've also got are 6 local rail plans, one for each authority. And when I say I want to build a city region that works for everybody, I want to make sure that transport networks across the whole city region, to avoid the issues that some people have to get from Southport to Prescott, don't happen anymore. and I will be unveiling these after a specific launch event with the Secretary of State, and it'll be a very exciting event, and I suggest if you're interested in transport that you come along.
Very good. Okay, Steve?
Well, I'll be there. because I don't believe it for a second. And the reason I don't believe it is because we were missed out on HS2, and completely missed out, and we lobbied hard as a city region, and as MPs and everybody else cross-party, that we should be connected, and we weren't going to be, and all of a sudden we might be. Well, listen, people have asked those questions, and I want to ask a favour of you. If we can stop using HS3, because it wasn't meant to be high speed, and stop using Northern Powerhouse Rail, because it doesn't mean anything to people. But in London, they have Crossrail. So let's start using Crossrail for the North. And as the South starts a campaign to get Crossrail 2, because that's what they want, we can say, never mind about Crossrail 2, we want Crossrail for the North first. Mm-hmm. For every £1 that we get up here in the North, the South gets £6. So all we're asking for is a fair crack of the whip, a fair proportion of that very big transport cake. And I'll be really interested to be at a launch, whenever that might be, to see this guarantee, because that should be a guarantee that it doesn't matter who the Metro Mayor is, that we get that money. And don't forget where you heard it, because we're going to get an awful lot of money from the Conservative government because it's been promised to us.
Yeah. I'm looking for a question on housing related issues. Is any questions from the audience before I go to another written? Any questions you've heard from some of our candidates about how they deal with and respond to some of the housing issues in the area? Any questions on that? Okay, is Richard Dyer in the room? Richard, you proposed two questions. That's the second question I'm interested in. So again, if you don't mind asking the second one, because I think that touches on some of the issues.
Yeah, so I represent Friends of the Earth in North England. The Liverpool City Region needs a healthy economy that delivers for people and the environment, as well as for business. If elected, how will you ensure that planned developments like the port expansion do not impose unacceptable environmental and social impacts on people and the environment?
So it's a great question around how you manage the growth that's on its way and is coming. How do you make sure that the quality of the environment, whether it's air or whether it's congestion, doesn't overwhelm the area? Tabitha.
It is a really, really good question, because I think for too long we've been just building infrastructure or building properties that solves things, and of course we do. We need to build housing. There is a chronic housing shortage across the UK and in Liverpool, but it needs to be cleverly thought out. We need to make sure that we're building homes, not just houses. So we need to make sure that we're building communities, and that there is affordable childcare in the area, so that people can have a choice. So where they're living, they can also make sure their children are cared for. There's good transport links. And also, in Liverpool, we have got the highest recorded rate for domestic violence in the whole of the UK. So we also need to make sure that we're also making sure that the properties of people to go to and refugees for women to flee this domestic violence. Because until we've actually, it's one of our most basic rights to have a home over our head and to be safe. So it's so important to look at the wider picture. It's not just building houses for itself, we need to build those communities as well. And as I said, make sure that there's childcare and refugees. And we reduced Section 106 and planned applications to make sure that we could provide these services and build communities.
Excellent, thank you very much indeed. So Tony, one of the powers you have is around strategic planning, to think about how you respond to those sorts of things, both from the questioner and from Tabitha. So give us your thoughts on that.
Really important area, and some really innovative solutions hopefully on the way. Following some quite significant consultation with the Campaign for the Protector of Rural England, where I invited Sajid Javid, who's the Secretary of State for Communities, who also has the responsibility for houses, we were listening to lots and lots of suggestions and came up with some really good ideas between us all. Successive governments have let us down in terms of the number of houses that we have, and we have a shortage of houses which has left a generation of people not being able to own or rent their own houses. Left too many people on housing waiting lists, and we need to sort that out very quickly. But we can't do that at the expense of our green spaces. So from a development perspective, I only want greenfield site development under extremely exceptional circumstances. And how I propose we cross this barrier and how we do this is we develop something called a brownfield site register across the whole of the Liverpool City region. Because what we should do is we should make sure when we're making those plans that every single brownfield site has been considered. Now, there are separate local plans in different parts of the city region, but as a Metro Mayor, I would bring all of those together to form that brownfield site register. Under no circumstances should development be allowed if all of those brownfield sites have not been considered first. Now, if we can develop those brownfield sites quickly, it's a double whammy, it's a triple whammy, because we get more jobs and skills because we're developing these sites that are, frankly, the second whammy eyesores at the moment, and we've had some land banking and some other things. I agree with the fact that in the city centre we should go up, so we need less land, less green belt land. All of these things are really important. So yes, we want more homes, we need more homes, and I'd be pledging to have 20,000, 25,000, in fact, new homes, because the government is pledged to build 1 million homes in the UK between now and 2020. The Liverpool City region has 2.5% of the UK's population, so that equates to 25,000 homes that I would pledge to build. But I would want the overwhelming majority of those to be built on brownfield sites and the Greenbelt only to be developed in exceptional circumstances.
Thank you very much. Steve, housing, planning, managing the side of growth that we'll be doing.
And hopefully to also tie on to the port development as well.
Yes,
that's important. Do the housing one first. All of that you have to do as the Metro Mayor. I think some people should read what the devolution agreement is. And there's already a local plan for each area. And then there will be a spatial strategy. So it does all of that thing, Tony, that you might be able to save yourself a few bob from doing. We have to do it by 2020. It says in the agreement, as I say, you can have a little read, it just says 2020. So we've got a while where we'll do that. But your government has put the onus on councils to look favourably on developers because the new housing policy plan framework actually does that. So you need to speak to your ministers to say if you genuinely believe that we should be building on brownfield first to change that plan. And the other part of that is that your government took away the money that was paid to organisations who can remediate land, who can decontaminate land, and by decontaminating land then you can bring that back. So that can be used before greenfield sites, and we need that to come back. And I've suggested to your government, if they want to help us to develop our 2.5%, 25,000 homes, then what they can do is give us a stamp duty holiday, and by that, what you can do is you remediate the land, and then when that is developed for housing on brownfield sites, what you do is you sell them, and obviously what you get back, a stamp duty. So it's a self-filling pot that you can use all the time. So if you're happy to work with me, I'll do that. Just very quickly, I'll
quickly, very quickly,
only because we've got the post-Panamax facility and we all support it. But every single one, if one of them container ships comes in, 25,000 containers on a ship, every single one of them goes down Dunning's Bridge Lane, and that causes us problems for a number of reasons. One is because our CO2 emissions, if you have a look on there, it's a hot spot for that, right? So we need to find solutions. And that's where West-East connectivity comes in. Forget about East-West, that means that we're going to be the last if it's built. East-West connectivity is the most important thing that we can do for our city.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. Carl?
It's very interesting, actually. It's a very familiar idea, that Tony. It sounds quite familiar to me, because my idea is for a brownfield development cooperative, so it sounds pretty much the same as what my idea was.
Not the same way, but
should have been a question,
There's two issues there, obviously. There's the need for growth, but there's also the need to protect people and make sure that people are healthy in this region. So for growth, I would make sure that I connect the region with the bus services that it needs to go to the ports, to make sure people can get into those jobs and get there. Also, I'll make sure that we have, in terms of health, an annual monitor of air pollution. And what I want to do, which I'm surprised that Steve's not been talking about, to be perfectly honest, is I want to take the NHS into local combined authority control, to really get those powers and wrestle them from the government. Because I think that, look, it's ludicrous to think that people down in Westminster can make decisions that are better for us than local people here and local experts. So I think that we should be making our decisions about our local NHS. In terms of housing, I would bring in a brownfield development cooperative in conjunction with a Merseyside Land Commission to make sure that we bring those key brownfield sites into use first and to protect those greenbelt sites. And I'm quite interested, actually, because didn't you pledge, Steve, when you were standing for the Labour nomination to protect our green spaces? I wonder where that pledge went.
Still there, it's in the manifesto. You need to read things before
okay,
you of course, the other thing is, this is the candidate who said, hold on, this is the candidate who said, right, that he wants to do away with the Metro Mayor position, and then has just said that he wants actually more powers to do away with the Metro Mayor position.
It was a big tower.
You need to get your own act in order before you start when you're going to
get your own act in order. One at a time.
Right,
you just said that, Steve. Carl, you get a right response on that one. Go on.
It was a big tap when you got the Labour nomination, Steve, but it's not a big tap now. It was the front. It was the front.
Anyone got a manifesto?
Yeah, no, I'm saying it was a big tap.
I'm saying it was a big tap.
How are you going to protect green spaces, Steve? When your local council, when Labour councils have released greenbelt sites around Merseyside in their local plans, how are you going to do it?
The manifesto change.
If you ask people in St Helens at the moment who are up in arms about it, absolutely up in arms, there were 300 people on the steps of St Helens Town Hall last month saying that the Labour Authority had let too much green land go. So we need the Metro Mayor candidates to all pledge to actually sort that out.
Steve, just clarify your position.
Do you not understand, right, that we are constrained by legislation? And the legislation at the moment, it's a Tory government, you've got something called the National Policy Planning Framework.
Labour Council, and within let it go.
Within that, not just here in the Liverpool City region, but throughout the country, plots of land are being built on because councils are legally bound to enforce the terms of legislation. My goodness me.
It's policy, not legislation.
Just give us your perspective on this.
I think on this particular question, the way the question was phrased really hits the nail on the head. It's about how can we have development which doesn't trash the environment? How can we have a form of economic development that benefits people, provides jobs and good houses, that doesn't cost us our green belt and our air quality? Absolutely, I fully agree. So one of the specific things you raised was like the ports. There's a huge commitment within the spatial strategy to supporting the port any which way we can. So that's road widening, building new roads, potentially through Rimrose Valley County Country Park, which is a beautiful bit of open green space. And there's also enormous plans, especially in St Helens, to build more of these enormous warehouse complexes to service the road haulage industry. So we're looking at an incredibly unsustainable plan. We're sacrificing green belt, we're increasing carbon emissions, and it's all based on an economics plan. Just increased importing of goods, increased consumption. So I think we need to really look at this and look for a different path of development.
Okay.
And just quickly on housing.
Yeah, go on.
Obviously, a lot of the housing is going to be planned for green spaces in green belt.
Yeah.
I'm completely opposed to this, and I'll be revisiting local plans.
Okay.
And like Carl, I'll be looking at innovative ways to bring brownfield site available for development. It's been done in places like Sheffield very successfully, and I'll be looking to mirror some of that.
Thank you very much indeed. Right. Start to get the end and need to give our candidates their final say, which will take up about 10 minutes towards the end. So we've got about 10 minutes to get into this business and enterprise. I'm going to ask the first question and give the audience a chance to ask one as well. As the Metro Mayor, what will you do to promote the city region as a place to set up and grow businesses? And I'm going to ask Steve to do that first.
Well,
would you sell this place as a great place to set up, but also to expand?
Absolutely, and the reason that it's called the Liverpool City Region is because that's much more preferable to Derek Pickles' title, which was the Halton, Knowsley, Liverpool, St Helens, Sefton and Wirral combined authority. And that's because Liverpool is the fifth best known brand in the whole world. So it doesn't mean that St Helens or Halton or anywhere else loses its identity. It means that it gives us a chance internationally to go and get that inward investment that we need. And if you have a look at direct foreign investment, we've actually started to fall back on that. And this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us to go out to try and get that inward investment, to try and build those clusters, to try and create the ecosystem around which our businesses can expand and prosper. And also, by doing that, we then create the high-value, high-skill, high-paid jobs that we need. And also, we can link that in to our fantastic universities, some of the R&D that we do, some world research that's going on our back door in the Knowledge Quarter. We can start to form all that, bring it together with a strategic plan that means that we can be the epicentre of the Northwest powerhouse.
Great. Okay, Carl, how do you promote the area, the city region, as a place to grow and set up business?
Well, I think it's a very simple one for me. As I said in my opening remarks, that I think this city region has got the potential to be a world player. It should be punching above its weight. It should be on the world stage. It should be working with our partners across the world and across Europe. But most importantly, what we've got here is we'll have two mayors. We'll have one in the Liverpool City region. We'll have one in Greater Manchester. We should work together to go out to the world to make sure that we're saying we're open for business. One way that I'll do that in the Liverpool City region is I'll pool our marketing resources to make sure that we can speak to people in other parts of the world, to make sure we're going into global markets such as the USA, such as China. And I really think that the role of a metro mayor is to go to other cities, to be spend half his time around other parts of the world. All here. Did I say? Yeah. To spend half of his time in other cities.
I didn't even know.
To spend half of his or her time in other cities around the world. I apologise.
Very good. Okay. Tabitha, what would you be doing to promote the city region?
I'm definitely pro-business. But I think we need to have a balance of the business. It's brilliant, some of the big corporations that we have in the region. But we also have to think about the small and medium-sized businesses as well. These are so often led by women and staffed by women. So we need to make sure that we create an environment where these thrive. And again, we need to consult with these people to understand exactly what they need. And I'm going to go back to it. This is not just, none of these things can be looked at in isolation. To have successful businesses, we need to make sure there's good skills and training. We need to make sure that there's a social infrastructure. So we need to make sure that there is affordable childcare, good transport links. So as Metro Mayor, I'm going to champion flexible working, affordable childcare, and ending violence against women and girls in our region, because if women are not safe, they can't even get into the economy in the first place.
Very good. Tom, what will you be doing the city region as a place to set up, grow, expand, do good business?
Okay, so I probably stick out in this panel a bit as being the only non-local accent. I came to Liverpool. Thanks for saying that. I came here in 2000 to study, studied at John Moores Uni, environmental science, incidentally. Okay. And basically, I never looked back. I never left Liverpool. I've stayed here ever since. I've never regretted it for a minute. I set up my own business, I've started a young family with kids in school now, and Liverpool is a fantastic place, so I can quite honestly trumpet the values of this place, the quality of this place. My way of attracting people to Liverpool City Region to start businesses will be by creating the best quality environment that people will simply want to come to. I'll be modelling my vision on some of the best cities in the world, like Copenhagen, Freiburg, some of the most livable places on earth. And the example I like to give is if you look at the Baltic Creative Area, that's one of the most successful phenomena in the Liverpool business scene. Now, do you think that would have been more successful or less if they put a couple more lanes on Jamaica Street and filled that with traffic? It would have been, you know, it would have been a less attractive place and it would not have been as appealing. So I believe if we create a quality of place, high quality urban environment, we can have a really successful business community here.
Okay, very good. Tony?
Steve's right in terms of Liverpool must be the attack brand. Everybody knows Liverpool. I'm very lucky to have done business around the world and I've got a business in Shanghai, I've got a business in New York. Everyone knows where Liverpool is. So Liverpool has to be that attack brand. But it's also very important that actually the jobs and the resources and the opportunities are spread across the whole city region so that Liverpool doesn't totally dominate, because that wouldn't be fair on the rest of the city region. How I would look to sell the city region in terms of attracting inward investors is quite simple. I'm looking for a 7-hub growth model where there is a growth hub in each one of the local authorities that helps existing business and new startup. And then within the master growth hub across the Liverpool city region, the one that covers the whole thing, you have the mayor's office. So the mayor is actually in there, right at the heart of trying to sell and market and to attract those investors into the city region. Also, we can bring organisations like Mersey Travel, like the local enterprise, bring them all together so that they all work together. That ends up being more focused, it ends up saving money, and it most importantly gives us better delivery. So if I'm your Metro Mayor, I'll look to support all businesses across all of the city region, and that's just one way that we can deliver a city region that works for everyone.
Grant, thank you very much. So I'm going to take one more question before we come to our closing statements, and I've got one at the back. Yes.
Carol Riley. I'm fortunate, I work in the voluntary sector, but I also do some marketing for a private business in the city. I'm interested to know if any of the candidates have plans around, one, the homelessness and those sleeping rough on the streets, and supporting local businesses addressing that issue, and also what they aim to do for the voluntary sector, because I'm not able to go to the hustings next week when they're covering that topic.
Okay, so connecting the homelessness agenda to businesses and what can businesses offer in that context, and the voluntary sector. So we've got about 5 minutes, so there's five of you, so you get about a minute each on this, and then you get the 2 minutes towards the end. Carl.
Well, I think the Metro Mayor's powers, as I've said throughout this, are quite limited on homelessness, but I'd like to use, obviously, a lot of that soft power to influence the government to make sure that they are tackling the issue. In terms of the work programme that we've got at the minute, I'd like to make sure that people aren't just going, we're not getting unemployed people working for big corporations, that we've got them working for local community groups so that they're influencing their society and they're making a positive impact.
Okay, Tabitha?
Homelessness is on the rise, and it's not just people we're seeing in our city, it's actually the hidden homeless who are sleeping in people's couches, etc. And we've seen a government that over the past few years has 86% of the austerity cuts have affected women's pockets. So we need to, like, again, I keep saying this, to solve these individual problems, we need to pull right back and actually look at some of those root causes. So we need to make sure that there is enough property, affordable property in the area. There's enough that people are not on low paid zero contract salaries as well. And I'm going to keep banging on about this. We need affordable childcare, because so often it's women who are in these positions. And if you can't afford to have your children cared for, you can't get into work, you can't get into the economy. And so you talked to us about the voluntary sector. We were talking last week at an event around social economy. The voluntary sector, it's a vital part of our communities. So often it's undervalued. So often it's seen as it supports failing governments. So we need to make sure that as a mayor, I consult with those and understand how we can make the right decisions that empower them and make sure they get the funding they need.
Okay, very good. Tony.
Well, to go to your first one about homelessness, you've got to remember that every case of homelessness is an absolute tragedy. And normally what lies behind that is significant mental health problems, in many cases, drug addiction problems. And the root cause is exactly the way to go forward. You've got to try to nip it in the bud. And as a city centre resident, I see it every day, literally. There's not a single day goes past when I don't go, for example, to the local shop on Dale Street where somebody doesn't ask me for money. And we need to sort that out. But I actually was quite surprised when the Mayor of Liverpool actually agreed with some of my comments and the fact that we do need to differentiate between those with a genuine need who we must support and also aggressive begging as well. We have to differentiate between the two. I see on a Saturday night people waiting as the taxis are driving down Dale Street and down Victoria Street to hassle tourists, to hassle often young ladies going out on a Saturday night or whatever, hassling them for money. So we need to make sure that that stops as well. In terms of the voluntary sector, we must never underestimate how important the voluntary sector is in this city. And as your Metro Mayor, if I'm so lucky to be elected, it will have my full support. I've supported lots of organisations within the voluntary sector, too many to name at the time, but I'm absolutely on the side of the third sector.
Great, thank you very much. Tom?
Agreeing with a lot of what's been said before, to be honest, homelessness is sadly on the rise. It's an incredibly complicated issue. Every story is completely different. There's always a complex set of reasons. But there is an amazing charity locally, the Whitechapel Centre, do fantastic work with homeless people. I've personally supported that, and I will continue to sort of work with them as Metro Mayor to see what can be delivered and what extra help can be given. And yeah, it's just it's shocking the pressure that the third sector is coming under at the moment. I read a report the other day where the Conservative government decided that CCGs need to run a surplus, a budget surplus of £20 to £25 million. That means they're just having to overnight cut their funding to loads of fantastic organisations in this area. So you've got to look at government policy as a key problem here. That, along with benefit sanctions and other things like that, is causing so many more problems that we actually need more charities to solve.
Okay, Steve, your thoughts on this?
I spent a night on the streets of Liverpool with a homeless charity and speaking to people. And actually, I have to take exception to what Tony said, because I wrote it down because I couldn't believe it. Tony actually just talked about drug addiction and mental health and said that we need to nip it in the bud.
We need to support every case of homelessness.
What would you do?
We're the fifth richest economy in the world, and government policy is making homelessness worse. The bedroom tax, universal credit, and sanctions have forced a lot of people onto the streets. And I spoke to families, men and women, who are on the streets, and they reckon that we're only two paychecks away from one of us ending up on the streets ourselves. So we need to do what we can to tackle that. But actually, the best way to do it is to get rid of this Tory government, in my opinion.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much indeed. So that brings the question and answer session to a close. I'm now going to give each of our candidates up to 2 minutes in the way that they did at the beginning to leave you with whatever thoughts that they wish to do it. And we're going to do it in reverse order to the way that we did start. So, Tabitha, you go first. Come back to the lectern so everybody does the same. Similarly, when you see me start waving, then you're pretty much out of time. Okay.
Well, thank you very much for all of the questions and the input this evening. We've heard lots of ideas this evening, but it's becoming clearer to me that we need to see better representation in this region. Gender equality matters so much. I've heard from the men alongside me, heard some good ideas, but equality is not at the top of anybody's agenda. I've mentioned this several times tonight because I think it's such a shocking statistic that Liverpool has the highest recorded rates of domestic violence anywhere in the UK. I love this city, I love this region, and that is not what I want us to be in the headlines for. So this has to stop, and tonight. And we can't do it as individuals, we have to do this together. So I challenge my colleagues here to help me put an end to violence against women and to put it on top of their agenda. Because I started this conversation tonight by saying I was hopeful, and I still am hopeful. I see amazing things as I'm going around the region. This opportunity and this deal, we can really change this region. It's a once in a generation opportunity, and I'm determined that everyone in our region is going to benefit from this. Every corner of the region, no matter what their gender is. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. Tom, 2 minutes. Okay.
So the elections that we have in May, it is an exciting opportunity, and we will have, you know, a new way of doing things in this city region after May. So it's really something we should all be taking part wholeheartedly. I feel that I've tried to present my green vision, which is distinctive from the other parties. It's where issues like global warming and air pollution are at the forefront of what I would do as Metro Mayor. I wouldn't just say warm words and then carry on with business as usual. I'd look for new ways of doing things, and I'd be prepared to make difficult decisions. The outcome would be a cleaner, safer, healthier city region. And I believe it would also be a really attractive, positive place to live. And I think people choose to come and live here. People from all over the world would want to come here to set up their businesses and have new opportunities. So if you want to vote for something that's very committed to the environment, but also to social justice, vote for it.
Thank you very much indeed.
Make no mistake, on the 5th of May, after the election, our area still faces massive challenges. Too often, Westminster and Whitehall is thought it's known best when self-evidently that's not the case. Too many policy ideas have been seen through the prism of what's in the best interest of those that live on the M25 corridor. Their one-size-fits-all approach has resulted in a heavily imbalanced United Kingdom economy, with London and the South East all too often overheating, whilst areas in the rest of the country often stagnate. But devolving powers into the Liverpool City region is our chance to change that. Our area has pioneered radical social reforms, revolutionised public services, created world-class businesses and world-changing technologies. We are innovators and pioneers. We find new answers to and invent new models. And where we see problems, we devise our own solutions. We are creative and ambitious, but we're also compassionate and fair. We know from experience that we're stronger when we unite together. And I'm standing to be the Metro Mayor, to make a difference where it really matters, in the place I was born and the place that I love. If elected, I will work for every family and every community. I will be accountable and accessible. I've set out a bold vision, my manifesto, that's based on a set of core values that define the kind of region that we need. A region that is ambitious, fair, green, connected and works together. This election matters. It goes beyond party politics. It's about taking power back, making decisions in our own interests, and releasing the potential of a region and its people with a rich history and an extraordinary character. So let's seize the chance to write the next chapter of our city region's rich history together.
Thank you everyone, and thank you for the opportunity that we've been given here to speak to you at this event today. For me, this election is how we want our city region to be portrayed around the world. Do we want to look small, worn out and inward looking, or do we want to be big, bold and well beaten? For me, I am the candidate and I am the mayor. I am the candidate and I will be the mayor that will be big, bold and well beaten. And I have a new vision to make sure that that happens, but to also make sure that we have people as the drivers of our democracy, that we have a vote on whether we want this system in the first place, and that we make sure people and local businesses power us for the future. To work with our partners around the world, especially in Europe, to maintain our access to the single market, because for me, that is the single biggest issue affecting local people and local businesses on Merseyside at the minute. Europe, back in the Thatcher days of the 80s, didn't give up on us, and we should not give up on Europe now. So I have a new idea, I have a fresh approach, and I want to make the Liverpool City region relevant around the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The devolved powers which have been given by this government enable us to take control of some key parts of our economy. And if I'm elected as your Metro Mayor, I will seize the day and I will get these powers and use them on behalf of you, the people of the city region. I believe that we've made great progress since 2010, mainly down to the hard work of local people, mainly down to the hard work of local businesses, but also because the city region and the government has worked together. I don't think we can risk throwing all this away and going back to the days where we lurch to the left and we have a failed battle where everybody loses. What we need is not a personal platform. This is not about getting rid of the Tory government. This is about getting the best possible outcome for the people of the Liverpool City region. That is what this election is all about. What we need is a mayor that's going to work with local authorities, with local business, with local people, and with the government. It's also very important too. Because only by working together will we maintain the momentum that we've created over the last few years. I believe that we need a mayor with a proven track record in both business and in politics. A mayor that understands the whole city region and can get the best deal for government. I believe that I'm the best candidate to be your Metro Mayor. I think I've got the right mix of personal, professional and political experience. I think I have invaluable knowledge of the whole city region, and I believe that I have the right skills to do this very important job. I want to see our region move forward, not move backwards. I want to see us not only catch up to our competitors, but to overtake them as well. And I want to see all people and all businesses here succeed all across the city region. And most of all, I want to build that city region that works for everyone. And I hope I can count on your support. Thank you very much. Finally, on behalf of all of the candidates, can I thank the Chamber, the Centre for Cities, and V Wall for your attendance today. Thank you very much for your lively session. Thank you.
Here's my candidates. So, I suppose formal proceedings are to a close, but I would like to echo my thanks to the Chamber and to Professional Liverpool for working with us to put on a great event. Thank you all for coming, and thank you for your great questions. I think they were challenging questions, and the candidates did very well. And finally, I'd like to thank the candidates for coming and engaging in the way that they did. And finally, I wish you all good luck over the next month. Thank you very much.